DDG episode 178. My name is Dave Hunt, and I'm joined by Michael Swick.
How is it going, Dave? Before we recorded, I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'm just going to ignore the you answering part. Soundboard, Dave? Let's just add soundboard to the mix. I'll expense it. We'll have random copywritten sounds on it. It'll be great.
I'll tell you what, if you want a soundboard, you can get it and hook it up to your computer, and you take over streaming control.
That would be fun. But it only work if it's sounds that you absolutely hate, so...
Well, but I'll just make it so that I don't hear them.
No, you'll somehow hear them. I'll pipe them through, so if you want to do the podcast with me, you'll have to hear them. It's just going to be, like... announcements. It's gonna be the Bed Bath and Beyond like opening and closing announcement.
What did you have in your Coke today?
Man, I am exhausted, Dave. A lot of work today, so.
All right. So while he's drinking more Coke, and we are Digital Days Gaming. We are a weekly podcast that posts every Thursday morning, 6 a.m. Eastern time on podcast services. If you're able to leave us a review on any of those services, that would be appreciated and helpful. You can go to our website, digitaldaysgaming.com, and you can subscribe that way and leave reviews, or you can see all of the platforms that we podcast on. If for some reason there is not a platform that you use that we are not on, please let us know. We will look into it. If not, you can always watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming. We are a Twitch affiliate, so you are able to subscribe to us if you so choose. You can do a paid subscription, or you can link your Amazon account and your Twitch account and get Prime Gaming, and you get one free subscription per month. That subscription does not auto-renew, so please consider periodically checking on our Twitch channel if you are subscribed. We do not have to be live for you to subscribe, and it is, I think, the first time you need to do it like on a PC, but then after that you should be able to on your tablets or your phones or mobile devices or all that stuff. So please consider checking that out. Everything else is linked in the show notes. Facebook group, Discord, Twitter, all those things for you to kind of join and interact with our community are all linked there, and go ahead and check those out. And we're going to jump right into the news.
But before we do that, Dave, okay, so like Best Buy did a pre-recorded closing announcement. Target made the managers do it. What was Bed Bath and what was Foot Locker? Was it pre-recorded, or did you have to pop up?
So Bed Bath & Beyond had a policy that you weren't allowed to do it.
Okay.
They thought it was against customer service. Like it pushed customers out of the building that maybe would have bought something but didn't because you said something. And
said, I want to go home to my family.
And Foot Locker, in a much smaller scale, the stores are smaller. Pretty much it was you put the gate down and the person felt kind of awkward. So because all of the mall stores, at least, the older Foot Lockers, like I'm talking about with the basket, like you, I don't know if you remember these, but with like the basketball hoop and the wood paneling and stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember those. I always wondered what was the point of that.
Yeah,
like, so I knew what the point was.
But we had an electric gate like that. I could use my key and open and close from behind the registers. Mm-hmm. And that thing sounded like the whole store was going to fall apart when you turned it on, like, so then that's usually scared people. And then the other, just closing the gate with like the reach pole, like the reach rod that you use to get like higher clothing down. Mm-hmm. If you just kind of put that down like 3/4 of the way or a quarter of the way, like 99% of your customers understood what was happening. And then of course you always got the annoying ones that like did the tuck and roll underneath your gate or something like that to get in the store.
Yeah, I just remember Target, the managers would take pride in who got to do the closing announcements, and it drove me insane.
Yeah, I did a couple of them at Bed Bath, but, you know, just I usually gave somebody like 5 or 10 minutes, and then I'd be like, okay. Because typically we were there an hour after close anyways, so if they only stayed like 5 or 10 minutes, it wasn't a big deal.
There was one time someone who, it was like 45 minutes after the store closed, and he refused to leave, and he was like fighting with managers, and eventually just like left 2 shopping carts full of stuff. He just kept throwing stuff in their carts. It's great times. I hated working at Target. God. All right. News, Dave. News. See, this is what happens when I am exhausted. Ratchet & Clank is coming to PC. So Nixies and Insomniac Games announced that Rift Apart is coming to PC July 26th. The game will support ray tracing, ultra-wide view. I believe they talked about like multiple monitor support, unlocked frame rate, and more. For those worried, this is being worked on by Nixie's Insomniac. It's not the people that put the Last of Us port together, which was Naughty Dog and Iron Galaxy Studios. So this is the Nixie's worked on the Spider-Man ports, which for the most part were pretty good ports. I know there was like some rough parts for the first Spider-Man, but overall they seem like they know what they're doing with these ports. Dave, thoughts on this, and also what happened to you need the power of the SSD?
That was going to be my question. So that was the main thing that I, when I saw this, like the way that they, you know, explained it before, like this is the, I believe this is the first truly built for PS5 only game to come to PC. And
Returnal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're okay. But it was, it was portrayed that PS5 is the only system that can run this because we know exactly which hard drive is in the system and how it would function. They don't have to worry about multiple if you have an SSD, if you don't have an SSD. But to be fair, I don't feel like I really saw PS5 only SSD things in this game. Yes, going through the portals and doing that stuff and you know, or going through the rifts and changing that stuff. Like, we talked about that when you and I were both playing it. Like, that stuff was cool and that tech was cool, but it wasn't as next gen or over the top as it was portrayed to be, in my opinion.
Yeah, it definitely needed the SSD because it was on a console that's, you know, a little underpowered. But all of the things that they did that needed the PS5's SSD can be taken care of by one, powerful GPU graphics card, and two, you can just throw RAM at the situation and you'll be fine. Like, I'm assuming the requirements for this will be like
That'll be the big tell-all, is like what the minimum specs are, or what they say, like what they call, like, if you want performance mode, like, you need to do this. If you want instantaneous movement or instantaneous, you know, like, you'll have to have ABCD or whatever. Like, the spec part of it will be interesting for me to see. And honestly, PlayStation PR needs a win on PC at this moment, and this might be the game that can help them do it.
Yeah, especially they just announced, like, it's funny, people are like, why did they announce the price increase for their PC ports? It's because the one that they're proud of is coming out.
Yeah.
So it works out. And for the most part, like, I think it's probably damn near impossible to buy a PC without a gaming PC without an SSD already.
Right.
Inside of it.
Yeah, like, you're almost foolish even building them or upgrading them or adjusting. It's almost like priority number one of any YouTube video, any article you read is minimum, I feel like, 1 terabyte SSD. Like,
yeah, you can have a mechanical hard drive, but it's a backup. Like, mine is cold storage. Like, everything that's not a game is on the hard drive. Every game is on the SSD.
Yeah.
But this should work out well. It is the proper studio that they acquired for this. And this kind of explains why Naughty Dog had to go to Iron Galaxy to get their PC port out. Which I think when that happened, when like all the Last of Us remastered on PC stuff happened with it being a horrible port, I think both of us questioned, like, why'd Iron Galaxy touch this? Not that Iron Galaxy's bad, but it was like they acquired a PC studio. Like, right. What were they working on? It turns out it was Rift Apart.
Yeah. So did the Last of Us issues get worked out yet?
For the most part, it had crazy patches like once a week for like 3 or 4 weeks. There was like big patches with like change logs.
Because I want to replay it. I think I want to do it on the PC.
Yeah, you should be fine. Yeah. The port was a mess, but all the technical aspects should be squared out now. You'll be fine. I'm pretty sure. 100%.
I'll have to look into it. Is it on sale yet? It should be cheap now, right?
No, but the Steam summer sale is usually in July, so if you wait one more month, it will be on sale. All right, we're about to hit a bunch of other like quick stories. Not too much happening here before we get on to our like main event story. Cyberpunk 2077 director is forming a new studio. So the director of Cyberpunk 2077 and co-director of Witcher 3 is forming a studio called Blank with other directors and producers from CD Projekt Red. This is the second studio to form out of CD Projekt Red, or, you know, like spin off or leave CD Projekt Red. And though that second studio also had game directors from Cyberpunk and Witcher 3. So it sounds like CD Projekt Red's just like fully under new management in terms of like your two most successful games. All of the directors have left to form new studios. So we'll see what happens in, I don't know, Dave, like 3 to 5 years for what the studio is going to make. I just thought it was interesting because it shows like a change of guard probably happening over at CD Projekt Red as they move into their next phase with all the Witcher games that they announced and Cyberpunk expansions.
Yeah, it's not uncommon for successful studios, whether you think Cyberpunk was a success or wasn't a success. It made the studio money. And Witcher has arguably, I think Witcher 3 has moved into the top 10 selling game of all time. You know, across, obviously it's been released on, you know, hundreds of times on different platforms and different versions and everything like that. So that's a little skewed, but at the same time, like, it is what it is. Like, stats are stats. And there's probably the high possibility that these people don't want to work on Witcher or Cyberpunk anymore. Maybe not Cyberpunk as much as Witcher. But, you know, when somebody does something for 8, 9, 10 years, 7, you know, however long, it does kind of start wearing on you, especially if you're like a creative director. Like, you want to be creative and doing, you know, continuing the story. Like, yeah, you can breathe some creativity into that, but you're not really like stretching your creativity muscles too much. And if they go to them and say like, hey, I really want to try a new IP, like we've always talked about, especially with a company that prides themselves on, you know, the last new IP they did was Cyberpunk. So like they're going back to their roots, because I feel like they might be a little gun shy and like, hey, let's get our feet back underneath us and do Witcher. And then the guy that's like, I don't want to do that anymore. Well, we're going to tell you what to do. Okay, I don't want to work here anymore. And, you know, then, you know, if you go, I'm going to go, you know, like you start getting some of the dominoes. Or the other little thing that, you know, we've always talked about, like the little black notebook that has all the ideas in it, or the stuff that they've been working on either on the side or on the side at home, or even, you know, on the side at work, that a project that maybe didn't get greenlit, that they learned a bunch of engine tricks, or they had another idea that was shot down that now that they can pitch it to somebody else. Like, CD Projekt Red doesn't own, I would assume doesn't own the people's thoughts. They don't have like a Kojima deal, you know.
So it depends on if those ideas were formed on company equipment, but most smart people don't do that. So.
Right. So I think this is potential to be really cool. But at the same time, we've seen hundreds of times, like, without the right money and the right upper management above your creative directors or directors, like, sometimes without that, you know, that thumb on you, you can't do it. So it's a risk, and it's a challenge, and it's very, very interesting to see like what's going to happen. Like, forming your own studio and having it be yours, like, as an example, having it be like Swick Productions, like, that's a lot of pressure, you know?
Yeah. Well, we at least know they're not going to have issues raising money, because CD Projekt Red just announced Witcher as a franchise, so 50 million copies.
Yeah.
Overall, over, you know, the course of 3 games. And then also, say what you will about Cyberpunk 2077, I thought it was a bad game, but it sold a shit ton of copies. Yeah. So they can go to any, like, financial, like, hedge fund firm, whatever you want to call it, investors, and they can easily just be like, hey, we worked on Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
And Witcher.
They have the resume and the pedigree to get financing. So
yeah, it's like you said, it matters on like, will they be able to like handle the pressure of that? That's unknown. But financially, they should be fine, like starting up a company. And I love seeing this though, like when new studios form, because you never know when the next big thing. Though now, anytime a new studio is formed, you just look for another company to just eat them up and acquire them. Which I wouldn't be surprised if that happens down the road. Especially, there's been a lot of rumors about PlayStation wanting CD Projekt Red and CD Projekt Red having to come out and say, like, nuh-uh, that's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get CD Projekt Red, you can get the directors.
Get its kids.
Yeah, you can get the people behind those games, and they'll be significantly less expensive. But let's talk about another studio that was formed not too long ago, Joseph Staten Studio over in Netflix land. That has added Raph Grassidy from Sony Santa Monica. He's an art director. And then it also has added an Overwatch executive, Chaco Sonny. So this studio that is supposed to be making AAA games for Netflix is starting to bring in some like known talent from some bigger studios. Things seem to be moving along for this new studio. Dave, I know it's not a lot to go on, but seeing people leaving, you know, Blizzard isn't too surprising. Sony Santa Monica could be the same thing you just talked about with Project Red, of just like, do they want to do another God of War game? Is Corey Balrog's thing just not something they're interested in?
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else that you didn't just basically say for the Secret Project Red news?
Other than like I've said for a while, like attaching, you know, using Amy Henning as an example, Jade Raymond as an example, like I just want to see something, like, and find out, like, yeah, Staten carries a lot of clout, but his clout is 10 years old.
The last couple haven't been
right. Big. So, like, I don't in terms of like what have you done for me lately? Staten doesn't carry as much clout in my book as he did before. Just like Amy Henning doesn't until she actually brings something out. I don't know if I might turn 45 before she brings something out.
I have faith that the Avengers Captain America Black Panther game will be a great point and click adventure.
So I think that you can, you know, you can assemble whoever you want to assemble, but Neil Druckmann wasn't Neil Druckmann until he became Neil Druckmann. You know, like, you know, it's just, you know, they, sometimes it works, like when Sony went back after Barlog and said, what's it going to take? And they got him. You know, and just things that come off the top of my head, Jaffe hasn't been able to, you know, he stopped making games, but he tried to, you know.
Anytime I hear Jaffe, I just get shivers.
I mean, I'm just like, these are like some names that like kind of like pop into my head immediately of like, you hear about, you know, these people like spin off to do this, like tying back to the CD Projekt Red, all the Evolution people that did Drive Club spun off to make their own driving game. The hell is that? Like, it's in, you know, I think they ended up getting bought by Codemasters, who then got bought by EA, you know, so it's like, it's so hard, and assembling all these like high-end people is great, and it's cool, and it's awesome. We've seen the same thing with for Concord from you know, the Firewalk Studios, which is, you know, people left Bungie, but okay, like, where's the game? Like, so you know, like, it's more of, it's come out with the Marathon and Destiny thing. Like, almost anybody that had a prevalent presence on Destiny 1 or 2's PvP has now been working on Marathon, and it shows.
Oh no, that PvP is not
right. Well, I don't play PvP, but there's enough of the community. I don't play enough PvP in Destiny, but there's enough of the community that's fussing about it. And now it makes even more sense now that Marathon came out. But at the same time, like, they're gonna buy Bungie's game because it's Bungie. You know, like, but this Netflix studio is who? Like, I don't care what Naughty Dog makes. I'm going to spend the $70 on it. Like, unless it's something like completely, unless it turns into like, I don't even know, like a real-time strategy board game. But even then, I probably still want to try to play it for whatever story they wrote because they have the clout to do that. Who is Netflix Staten? I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing that we're going to have to wait and see in terms of just like, what identity are they going to form? They're promising AAA games. What does that mean to Netflix? Does Netflix Netflix owns a bunch of IP? Are they just gonna plop an IP in their hands, or are they just gonna be able to do their own thing? And I'm assuming if you're working with Netflix, they're probably looking for some sort of synergy to get you to play the game and then also, you know,
watch something,
you know.
But like, at the same time, like, what are you going after? Like, you have arguably somebody that's been a director of one of the greatest franchises in gaming history in Halo. One of the more recent, whatever you like about Overwatch 1 versus 2, you know, Overwatch was top 3 competitive shooter at one point in time.
Over the last 10 years, you probably put it in the top 3 over the last
so,
10
you
years.
So, you know, competitive esports shooter, and then you have somebody that's done phenomenal jobs in third-person action art.
Yeah.
So what the hell are you making?
For the last 10 years at PlayStation.
What are you making? So you got a stud from Halo, possibly a stud from Overwatch, and the art director from two studs from first persons and the art director of a third person, you know, that you're trying to use, you know, you're trying to tie into as close to any kind of mythology as you can, whether it was Greek mythology or it was I can't remember what Norse mythology for the most recent God of War. So if he did stuff on the original God of Wars, you know, like, I don't see it right now without knowing what they're doing, you know, because like, now what's this going to end up being, a racer?
Dave, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not going to be that. But no, yeah, we don't know what it's going to be, but they're at least building a team with notable people that I would assume there's already an idea formed. And it's not just like, hey, do you want to just make a studio and we'll figure this out later? Though Netflix has that sort of money and little experience with gaming that they could be forming a studio with like notable names.
Well, also, whoever's in charge of Netflix gaming, all he did was go to the board and say, hey, I'm going to get the guy that produced three Halos. And they're like, okay.
No, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's all they had to do is just be like, oh, we got the person of Halo and Destiny.
Yeah.
And then we're going to hire someone from Blizzard and Overwatch and also God of War. Have you heard it? You know, it's just like, that's all they need to do to
buzzword bingo.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And it's going to work, and we'll see. Netflix did promise that they're going to release 40 games this year, but that's... it's been, you know, all mobile games because they have to run on Netflix.
Played a game on Netflix? I've been watching Netflix a lot, like, the last 2 weeks. I don't see where the games are. I haven't looked for them actively.
You have to dig in the menu to get the games. But then all it does is it downloads the game in a side launcher for you to play. Like, I played... Shattered Remastered before it came to PS5. It was actually on Netflix, and that's where I initially played it. And
you still downloaded it, right? You didn't stream it?
Yeah, you have to download it. So it's nothing. That's what they're going to have to do, you know, for their mobile games.
How much internal memory does a television have?
So that's the thing, is it's the games aren't compatible with every TV. I don't even think it might be.
I don't even know if my TV has an SSD or a hard drive, let alone how big it is.
No. I'm assuming.
Am I going to have like a cold storage hard drive hanging off the side of my TV?
I would bet that it doesn't work on any TVs. It is just for phones and tablets. But I mean, that might be the future that they want, but I'm assuming you're just going to get into streaming tech when like this game comes out. If it's
going to be like taking off the back panel of my TV and inserting an extra SSD, like is it going to come with an extra SSD slot?
I found out that my TV can actually record antenna TV if I put a flash drive into the back of it.
I have the same TV.
Yeah, you can do that. You can, if you put a flash drive in the back of it, it'll record.
Dude, I get nervous about trying to like power my Amazon Fire Stick through a USB port on my TV instead of just plugging it into the wall.
Hey man, it's less power, less likely to get burnt out. But we'll move on to the next one. This one's just like two quick announcements. Summer showcase events are starting to be announced. You know, we have the Xbox Bethesda one happening. We also have Summer Games Fest. Two more companies have thrown their hat in the ring. Devolver is doing an event on June 8th, which I'm happy to see because, you know, they had a couple games during the PlayStation showcase, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, maybe that's it for them. But they're going to have their own weird showcase like they usually do. And then
continuing their soap opera story.
I mean, it's riveting. Ryuga Studios, the Like a Dragon people, are going to be having a showcase on June 15th. So, bunch of events. Dave, get ready to record a podcast every single night.
I'm with you. I like that Devolver's doing this on the 8th because of the Xbox event on the 11th, and then Keighley's event is, I think, what, the 15th? It's after the 8th.
I'm going to look up because Jeff Keighley, luckily on his website for Summer Game Fest, has a calendar that includes.
Okay. I'm pretty confident it's after the 8th. And the reason I like it is because they can get their announcements out and then they can use the other events. If something's going to be on Game Pass or if something's going to be, they want to show gameplay off at Summer Game Fest, the game exists. Get away from the game announcement itself and let's just talk about the game. Especially Devolver games, because sometimes they require a little bit of additional massaging to make sure that people understand what they are, because they do like to go over the top a little bit to where I'm like, do I really want to play that? And then I see it being played. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I see what it is. So,
okay,
you know, like genital jousting needed a little bit of massaging.
that's a very, very interesting phrase to say that for that game. Have you played it yet? You still haven't played it?
No,
you need
to
play it. Okay. If you ever come to Chicago, that's the requirement to hang out with me. All right, so the calendar is June 8th is Summer Games Fest.
Oh, June 8th. So the 8th, same day.
Yes. June 8th also will have Double Fine's Day of the Devs. And then, you know, Devolver Digital, June 8th. And then June 9th, we have...
okay. So it's part of it.
It's three different times. Oh, no, you're
saying he added it to his calendar.
Yes, he added... He adds everything that's happening that summer to his calendar, even if it's not associated. June 9th, we have the Tribeca Games Spotlight. So that's usually where, like, the Annapurna games get shown off. We have June 10th, the Wholesome Game Direct. June 11th is the Xbox Starfield Direct, the Xbox Showcase, and the Starfield Direct.
I'm starting to get more excited that they're emphasizing that those two things are separated.
It opens them up for like so much time.
I'm excited that they feel like they're that confident in Starfield, even though I probably won't play it. But then also that they're that confident in whatever else they're going to show.
Yes.
And I think that they are in a position right now. Microsoft is in a position right now where for the first time in a long time, Sony is a little bit vulnerable, a little bit indefensible at the moment. Their showcase did not land well. Mm-hmm. And this is a chance for, I'm not sitting there saying they're ever going to get on the same field, but this is a chance for them to minimize the gap. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a huge opportunity.
At least in, like, the hearts and minds aspect. It's not going to help them sales-wise, but it's going to help them have a different perception.
In the order of what happens, Phil Spencer's interview was kind of funny, Sony showcase, and then this, where Spencer's kind of, like, groveling and saying, like, we can't, and then Sony kind of inevitably dropping the ball on a chance where they had a good chance to really, like, just kick him out, like, completely just knock Microsoft down to where now Microsoft has a chance to at least kind of, like, get back in the ring to get punched again.
I wonder, so for the most part, the showcase is probably locked in. Their lineup, they're not going to add anything to it because it takes too long to, like, make a trailer or make a vertical slice to be shown. But I wonder... is if they saw the reaction to the PlayStation Showcase and a lot of complaints about, like, hey, what the fuck was up with, like, 20-second trailers that don't show anything but a logo? Yeah. I wonder if Xbox will look at their lineup and remove a couple things that might just be a logo.
Or something that says fall. They go, hey, let's get a date.
They either throw a date, or if they can't put a date, they just don't put anything.
Yeah.
Coming soon. coming soon, or they move it to 2024 because they're worried. And I need to know, like, what stuff is going to get, like, an extended period of time, because the Starfield stuff is its own separate thing.
Well, we know, I feel like I know today or yesterday, like, we're going to see Fable.
Yeah, they said we'll look at Fable, and at this point it has to be gameplay. Like, if they just show us another trailer that shows nothing, then they fucked up.
And Fable has to come out before this time next year. I feel like it's they need to window it spring 2024.
Okay, I would be fine with a window spring summer or first half if they want to really buy themselves some time. And Hellblade probably needs a release date. Like, if they show Hellblade again and it doesn't have a release date, they messed up.
And then Hollow Knight Silksong needs. They've said it's been delayed, but I don't know if they delay dated it or that they
their game, but it has been showing up at their events, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they definitely need to do something there. But I do think that they probably will look at some of their trailers, because that's what got them in trouble for so long, where after they acquired all these studios, like, how many logo trailers did we see just from their Obsidian games?
I mean, we got to see, like, what, Outer Wilds 2, or what's it called? Am I saying that name right? Outer World 2? Outer Wild 2?
Outer World. That's the Obsidian one. And then Obsidian also has Avowed, which is like their Skyrim knockoff. And now they own a studio that made Skyrim. So they have a lot of things that they need to actually showcase, as opposed to just, here's a teaser trailer. Mm-hmm. And also Phil Spencer can't promise, like, all these games will be out before, because it got him in trouble last time.
Yeah.
But looking back at the calendar, Ubisoft Forward is then June 12th. So, Dave, I'm going to put you on the spot. I feel like we're confident to say, like...
three episodes?
Yeah, I would say three episodes. Summer Game Fest deserves its own. Xbox Showcase deserves its own.
I think we're gonna have to, though, for Ubisoft, just because, whether indifferent, like, Avatar is going to be there. something, you know, two, I would assume at least two things from the division are going to be there. And whatever they show with Assassin's Creed, like that's enough for at least a half hour episode.
I would say that we can write in ink permanent marker Summer Games Fest, Xbox Showcase, and in pencil we write Ubisoft Forward.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it could be nothing. You know, like I would say, like, I'm committed to covering
more
Ubisoft
Just
Forward.
Dance, Roller Derby, and For Honor stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like, here's Rainbow Six stuff, and here's another teaser.
At the same time, as much as we've been criticizing Ubisoft, like, and they've done it to themselves. If they have another Immortals Fenyx Rising like game that we don't know about, like, that could be potentially, or even a sequel to that, like, because if Tears of the Kingdom can get away with the same map, I think Immortals can too.
Yeah, it should be able to, and I just don't have confidence in Ubisoft right now, and that's just
I agree.
But they do have potential to be worthy of, like, us covering, like, a...
We're also at the point in time where we typically see a Far Cry teaser.
Are we? Was Far Cry last year or the year before? The
year before, I think. What was that, 6, right?
Yeah, I feel like that was May last year.
October 7th, 2021.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it just didn't hit my radar enough to remember that. Yeah, so we'll definitely have plenty of podcasts next week.
At least there'll be a... If there is a Far Cry 7, which I think there will be, like, they'd be foolish not to, there will be the big name voice actor, actress for the villain. Like, that's what we'll see.
It might be
just a real time thing where they show whoever it's going to be. Like, at this point in time, like, with the way that it's been going, it'd probably be like Chris Pratt.
Will someone at Ubisoft talk about how AI is helping them develop games? Ubisoft is terrible at, like, jumping on bandwagons. I wonder if they're going to be on the wrong bandwagon yet again. Mm-hmm. And we'll hear AI talk from them. I don't know. Ubisoft, there's definitely a chance that we'll cover them separately. But we'll also have to see, like, if the Xbox showcase is good, it could be a long podcast, just like our PlayStation showcase was a long podcast. Yep. And we'll just have to wait and see. That is video game announced events. So we'll probably have a couple more pop in there. But Dave, let's talk about the main news story. The Last of Us multiplayer game has been reportedly scaled back.
Called it. Been saying this for a year.
But it's more, it's worse than what you were even predicting. So Naughty Dog, out of nowhere last week, took to social media to be like, hey, we need more time with factions. Also, hey, we're developing, like, a new single player game that we're really proud to work on, but don't worry, we're still working on factions. Paraphrasing. It was one of those images where they wrote three paragraphs.
Yeah.
And people were like, wow, that's weird. They're really getting people's expectations out of the way that it might be at Summer Games Fest. But then minutes later, Bloomberg, Jason Schreier, reported that the game has been struggling so hard that PlayStation had Bungie evaluated, and Bungie basically walked away saying, like, this might not work, or we don't see how this works as a games as a service. So PlayStation has started to peel people off of that game to work on the single player game, and now they're just going to have, like, a small crew working on factions while PlayStation reevaluates the future of factions multiplayer. Basically, the report is Bloomberg, so it's behind a paywall. So I can't, you know, read quotes from it right now because I used my free access to read the article.
Should have said something.
They basically, it was reported that Naughty Dog was very intent on making it the Naughty Dog way, and that just isn't working. And there's been some reports. I think Jeff Grubb said that it very much feels like a studio's first games as a service game, which there's context you can add to that in terms of, it sounds like they weren't looking outer in terms of, like, what other studios have made mistakes in that market. and were just head down making it their way, which is why PlayStation had Bungie evaluate it. And this was also reported in like a different thing, but PlayStation during a financial call recently said like, hey, we're gonna have 12 games that are games as a service, live service games by 2026. And also we acquired Bungie to evaluate all of those games before they get released. So the thing me and Dave have been talking about of like, PlayStation did not buy Bungie because they think Destiny is going to get Second Wind.
Yeah, Marathon's going to be amazing. They didn't buy Bungie for their IPs.
Yeah, because Dave, you're a Destiny fan. You know Destiny has peaked already. Like, it has its consistent things. It will always bring in fans back. But it's never going to be, like, as big as it was a couple years ago.
It's still one of the most successful games as a service ever. Yes.
And will probably last forever because it can bring in the dedicated players every couple months. But PlayStation didn't buy them because they're like, oh, we'll get, like, some consistent money from that Destiny expansion trade.
They brought them because they sent their three strongest minds to Naughty Dog and sat down at a table and said, okay, show me. And this is, I bet you, how these conversations went for the most part. Hey, this is what we're doing. Okay, so the Bungie dev's like, okay, why do I want to do that? What do you mean, why do you want to do it? Look how beautiful it looks. Why do I want to do it 10 times? Why do I want to do it 30 times? Why do I want to do it 100 times?
Yeah, and it sounds like Bungie basically looked at it of just like, okay, why would people return? And also, how would you make money? Because Naughty Dog did emphasize, like, hey, it's going to be very story-focused. We're still going to put our flair on it. And without, you know, all the details, it seems like Bungie was just like, that's not sustainable. It didn't say, like, there was no report saying, like, Bungie saw it and were like, this fucking sucks. It's not fun. It sounds like Bungie looked at it as a live service and was like, how?
Yeah. Bungie does a lot during their seasonal content. Bungie does a lot of... I don't really know the correct way to the correct term to use this, but they do a lot of what I call like storybook or comic book cutscenes, where they're showing non-movement and they're having voice actors and actresses like voice acting over top of it. They're not animated, moving, fully fleshed out cutscenes with exact pinpoint voice acting. There's a lot of audio recordings. There's a lot of storytelling while you're in combat. Things that Naughty Dog doesn't do or hasn't done. And, you know, like I've been saying for a long time, can Naughty Dog hit a 90-day content cadence? And I think that's what Bungie saw. Like, is Factions 2 something that you could use the Destiny model from and every year have a cool, like, a cool story, you know, expansion, you know, 5 to 8 hour like thing that has animated cutscenes and introduces new characters and has cliffhangers and story beat moments, maybe. But can they, what I've been saying for a long time, is anybody at Naughty Dog okay with doing a shortcut because you have to release seasonal content and you have to release it within 90 days? Shortcut is not a bad word, but it's just the reality of what happens. Like, okay, you like maybe your voice actor, can you pivot your story because your voice actor is not available for 6 months because they're shooting a TV show?
Yeah. Or the reality of like Naughty Dog's very proud of like their mocapping. Like Bungie's like, realistically, you cannot mocap every animation that's going to happen in this game. You're going to have to use other means.
And Naughty Dog's probably like, what do you mean? We always have. And then somebody goes, how long does it take you to shoot a 30 or a 90 second cutscene? They're like, oh, 4 months. Like, yeah, man, we release an entire season.
Yeah. And there's also an aspect that people responded to this news very negatively. Like, you should be like disappointed and hurt by it. But people have responded to this news as if like Bungie saw it and was like, this game is terrible. For all we know, Bungie saw it, told PlayStation, this is the greatest fucking multiplayer game we've ever played, but it is a terrible games as a service game. And it will not be profitable long term. And that's all PlayStation needed to hear.
Right.
Because
which is exactly what happened with Factions 1 and with Uncharted multiplayer. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Fun to play. Super enjoyable. 4 to 6 months later, it's forgotten.
Yes. I loved Uncharted 2 multiplayer and 3. I forgot 4 had multiplayer. Like, completely forgot it had multiplayer. And this very much could have been, you know, Bungie just being like, hey, they're doing some really innovative stuff, but it's not going to be profitable. It's not realistic. You can't tell, you know, even if Bungie Because Bungie has shown that they pay attention to other games as a service thing, which has always been the frustrating thing with other studios that make games as a service, is they don't pay attention to what other companies do. And Bungie probably looked at it and was like, yeah, like, do you see how fast Fortnite makes shit? Like, you might need Fortnite Epic Games as, like, workhorse.
Can you imagine what a hot fix patch from Naughty Dog would look like?
No, and that's what I was saying. In terms of just, like, they probably looked at it like, hey, if you want to do the Naughty Dog way, you're going to need multiple studios. You're going to need a couple hundred more people to do it. And then it'll be sustainable. So we don't know, like, the details on, like, how Bungie looked at it. We just know that Bungie said, like, this won't work as a games as a service. And PlayStation's like, shit, well, this is our marquee of our 12 games we're going to release within the next 3 years. Live service game. And they decided, like, shit, just work on a single player game.
Yeah, they're probably paying too much attention to set pieces and characters and not player engagement, which is what is what I've been saying for years since we've heard rumors about this. And I've been now the Bungie acquisition happened, so that's helped the narrative a little bit. But if I'm a high-end multiplayer producer and I get hired by Naughty Dog, I'm screaming it from the fucking mouthtop, like, that I'm working for Naughty Dog. And I don't know of anybody high-end that is working for Naughty Dog that has a successful games-as-a-service pedigree, unless I missed it.
So they've had people that worked at Naughty Dog gone to companies that did games-as-a-service and then came back to Naughty Dog. But they haven't, like, basically they brought talent back. From I don't remember names off the top of my head, but they've had people that have left and came back that worked on some games-as-a-service, but, like, they haven't brought in the marquee.
But if you don't think that Druckmann still has his hands all over this about making sure that they're telling the correct story and the correct ways originally. And doing all that stuff, like, he's got his hands all over it, and people are probably leaving meetings with him like, damn, like, does this guy understand, like, what we need to do? Like, in terms of, like, this is only something that somebody's going to potentially play and mash the circle button to skip.
There's a chance they leave a meeting with Druckmann and go, that guy's a genius, but he's a dumbass. You know, like, you could have that sort of, like, relationship with this product, with this game, of just, like, it's ambitious and it's not going to work. Those two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
And that is what Naughty Dog's probably finding out. Because
they can't take 5 years to make a game.
Yeah.
Not this style game.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's just, like, I have faith that Naughty Dog is making something really cool. I just don't have faith that Naughty Dog's making a games as a service.
But also, the longer it takes, the problem with games as a service is the longer it takes, the more the expectation and then the player interaction changes.
And the more it evolves.
Right. And you have to kind of move on the fly. And I've said this before, like, can what Factions 1 did and did well, can that carry now 10 years later? And I think that the gameplay can. But then the balance and the draw and the microtransactions and the daily logins and whatever, it's a bounty system or an XP system or a progression system, like, those are things that Naughty Dog hasn't ever had to do.
Well, I mean, especially with how long it takes or has taken them, so many things have changed. I mean, Overwatch went from a $60 game to a free-to-play game with a battle pass that everyone hates. There's a chance Naughty Dog is like, hey, we're doing a battle pass. Overwatch is doing one. And then Overwatch's battle pass failed, and they're like, shit. Back to the drawing board. You know, like, so many things change. Players' taste change so often that everyone loved battle passes until a couple companies did it wrong, and then they hated it. Like, you but have people could, looking back at Overwatch loot boxes like, I miss that.
But I could also see, like, the player feedback coming into, like, this game's out, and it's been out for a season, or it's been out for two seasons, and the player feedback is overwhelmingly that they don't like a mechanic. And I think he's a he's probably one of the greatest creative game directors of all time at this point in time. But I could see them in a boardroom, and the community manager or the data guy telling Druckmann, hey, the player base doesn't like A, B, C. And he goes, I don't fucking care. It's my game. This is what I want to do. You're going to lose players. He's like, well, that's fine. Like, no, that's not how a games as a service works.
Yeah. I don't even think it would be like, I don't fucking care. It could be like, well, the thing that they don't like is very integral to this thing story-wise, and then it just kind of snowballs from there.
Yep.
To where it's not even like, a hatred or aggression. It's just like, no, I have a vision, and anything like that gets picked out of that.
Is Neil Druckmann going to let you put a sombrero on Ellie?
Mm-hmm. No,
I'm using a stupid broad analogy, but that's kind of where games as a service come from. Like, are you gonna let us have a Valentine's Day event, and you're gonna let us put, this hot pink sparkly shirt on Ellie?
Or look at what Bungie just did with PlayStation in terms of, like, here's like the God of War skin, here's the Alloy
skin. That even got your attention.
Yeah, but is that going? If Naughty Dog's like, hey, we want to be a really immersive story. Are they going to be like, well, we can't have people dressed like Kratos, even if it's subtle, like it doesn't work. Like, you can run into those issues, or the fact that like they might not have the pipeline to do events.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to imagine, they've never done a games as a service. That's a pipeline.
Yeah.
Destiny's broken down into different pipelines to get content out in a timely manner. And even though Bungie has a timeline and a roadmap, it's still not fast enough for their fans.
Right.
So, like, Naughty Dog has to build an infrastructure, and as much as
Bungie's been hit with having to delay their big story content and fill it with other stuff, and they've been able to fill it, albeit some bad, some good, some indifferent. I don't know if Naughty Dog has the capability of generating filler,
especially like with how
or on the fly filler.
I mean, look at how many people left Bungie in the last like 5 or 6 years to go do other things. That had to affect Bungie's pipeline and content frequently.
Just like we talked about Marathon in development in the background as they've been growing. Like, so this has got to be the third team at Naughty Dog, right? Like, we know there's two teams.
Well, I don't. But based on how
I know the teams merge and the lines cross back and forth. But we knew there was the Uncharted 3 team and The Last of Us 1 team.
Yes, yeah. Naughty Dog's always been like two separate teams that they merge towards the end and then spike off.
Yep.
The question is, how much of a crew do they have left? Because if it's a skeleton crew, you can't make that a third team. That's just a skeleton crew. We would need to know like how small they got scaled back. Because they could still just be two teams, because all we know is they're working on a new single player game, and that's the first time we've heard that they're working on something that isn't factions.
This single player game has to be Last of Us 3, right?
He did say he has ideas for Last of Us 3.
The letter was addressed to Last of Us fans.
Yeah, I you can infer that it is most likely like The Last of Us 3 or something.
Or a spinoff.
Or a spinoff. Mm-hmm. Though there were a lot of rumors that they were looking at like a sci-fi game. And that could still be true, but man, Naughty Dog probably can't be doing a sci-fi game with all the sci-fi studios that now work for
PlayStation. Well, Santa Monica is supposed to be doing a sci-fi game too.
Yeah, Santa Monica, and then of course you got Bungie, and then you have the Firewalk Studios.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very crowded. But Dave, I'm starting to like, I forgot who said it. Greg Miller is like, we're never seeing this game.
Or he said like, it's going to get canceled.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, it's going to get canceled. We're never going to see it. And I'm starting to agree, because they can't just go back and be like, hey, guess what? It's like Factions 1. Here's a little fun little multiplayer game. Like, they can't do that. There's too much pride, too much money invested. It would almost be more affordable
This is Lost Legacy all over again.
How so? Lost Legacy was great.
Yes, but it was also supposed to be attached to Uncharted 4 as single-player DLC.
Yeah, but they ended up making it a little bit bigger, and I think it was successful financially.
Yeah, 100%. But
this is reverse Lost Legacy.
No, and it's not, because they were supposed to stay in their lane, and they got out and they went out of their lane.
Yeah, but in that case, it worked out for them. This is like they got out of their lane, and it's been derailed like completely. And we'll just
No, I guess what I really mean is that this probably, I see the if this game doesn't get canceled, it will not be a games as a service.
Yeah, no, I mean, what do you mean? Like, if it gets canceled, it's canceled.
If the game does not get canceled,
it
won't be a games as a service. It'll be, I think it could be an elaborate cooperative story-driven thing that has expansions.
So we always talk about like how Phil Spencer could be on the chopping block if he continues to have Xbox not produce games. Like, I know we don't have much love for like how Jim Ryan runs things. Could him messing up Naughty Dog even if it's not his fault, but if Naughty Dog gets derailed by a multiplayer game, games as a service that you know they weren't pitching themselves.
I think whoever runs Naughty Dog is strong enough to cut bait on it and to tell Ryan it's not happening.
No. But in terms of like, this is now a black mark on Naughty Dog if it doesn't come out. Does that get pinned on Jim Ryan, who also has 12 different games coming out in 3 years for live service? Like,
the only way it really gets pinned on him hard is if Concord and Haven game aren't good.
Because then that's three games as a service games. Yeah, like I wonder how many. Because again, 12 in the next 3 years is ridiculous.
Well, and part of the reason is he bought Firewalk and he bought Haven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, Jim Ryan bought them.
Yes, and also probably had Naughty Dog pivot to a games as a service, because I think Naughty Dog was always making a multiplayer game. Their idea looked big, and they're like, well, can we do a games as a service? And Naughty Dog is like, we like that challenge. When it probably should have just been like a basic multiplayer game, like the first one was, or multiplayer portion of a game. But I don't know. I don't know how PlayStation looks with all these live service games, because there was also a report, I don't know if it was in the last report or the report when they originally made it, but they talked about like 60% of their income or their profits should be from games as a service games by 2026. And that seems like a lot of money's going to be put into it to make that happen. And I worry about PlayStation.
60% of their annual profits or their overall profits?
I would have to try and dig around, yeah. But either 60%.
I could see it being annual because you can't rely on. I agree, but you can't rely on, you know, to your point, like, can we do Spider-Man 3, 4? Like, can you? Like, can you do another God of War? Can you do another?
But the thing is with Insomniac is they're going to be spinning out Wolverine.
No, I know.
And, you know.
But I'm just saying, so Insomniac goes, what, Spider-Man, Wolverine, and then, you know, Santa Monica does Ragnarok and whatever this new game is, and then do they go back to God of War? Like, ultimately, in terms of, you know, if and when something, and I don't think it would, but if something does terrible happen at Naughty Dog where you have to cancel the game and people are worried about Naughty Dog, all they have to do is do a continuation, go back to their bread and butter and do some form of a continuation of Uncharted, tell a fantastic story that looks amazing, and they'll be fine. You know, like, I'm not sitting there saying I want to see something that, at the point, are we going to get a prequel to Drake's Fortune? Like, I don't know. But, you know, like, they have enough that they can fall back on of whether it's, there's tons of stuff they can do with Last of Us. There's tons of stuff they can do with Uncharted, so they can go back to it.
Naughty Dog can go back to it, but I'm talking about PlayStation in general in terms of, like, hey, we poured tens of millions of dollars into this multiplayer.
Yeah, they survived the free-to-play fall apart with Drawn to Death and Guns
Drawn
Up.
Drawn to Death was like nothing. Those were just like contracted out.
They
like
cost, though, no, they were Sony owned studios and they cost a lot of people their jobs at Sony.
No, Drawn to Death was a Jaffe studio.
The other two, though, I thought were Sony owned studios. Guns Up and something else.
I gotta look up Guns Up.
But it definitely cost some executives their jobs at Sony. I feel like one of them was made by Sony San Diego. It was them trying to branch off.
No, so Sony San Diego helped a bunch of those companies out with those multiplayer games, but they weren't like the studio behind it.
Okay.
Guns Up was Valkyrie. But yeah, it definitely probably cost like the person in charge of third party relationships their job. But I'm talking about like you're gonna pivot PlayStation to be a majority.
At this point in time, I don't ever think we could see Ryan lose his job, but we could see Ryan step into a different role.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. Just like Phil Spencer could get fired from Xbox, but not Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't think they'll ever hate PlayStation or, you know, hate Phil Spencer.
There is concerns about Naughty Dog's gonna Naughty Dog, and that's what they're doing. And, you know, like, and these long dev cycles, I mean, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. Like, what would Xbox look like right now without Bethesda? What would PlayStation 5 look like without Insomniac?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's kind of scary at the moment because, you know, like, Guerrilla does a fantastic job, but they're on PS4 and PS5. God of War was fantastic, PS4, PS5. Last of Us, Part 2, PS4. You know, like, so in terms of PS5-only stuff, it's been Insomniac.
Yeah.
So
Valkyrie is owned, did Guns Up, and they're owned by PlayStation as of like a year or two ago.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to look that one.
What have they been doing since Guns Up then?
They worked on God of War Ragnarok.
Okay.
They were bought to be an artillery. Auxiliary studio. So, that is Naughty Dog, man. When's the next time we hear about factions? If we hear about factions again, that isn't. It's canceled.
Next year's Last of Us Day.
Okay, when is Last of Us Day? That's like in
September,
in March, September. Okay.
No, I feel like it's September. Yeah.
Okay, so September 2024 is when we.
So another 18 months.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The next.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'll say we will hear about Naughty Dog's new single player game, whether it's Last of Us Part 3 or a different IP. Or another version of Uncharted. Either of those three options. You will hear about that before you hear Factions 2.
I would agree with that. I think next year
Have they actually called it Factions 2? Or they just keep calling it Last of Us Multiplayer?
They've thrown Factions. I don't think they've ever put the 2 on it. Yeah. They just have referred to it as a multiplayer game or Factions.
Okay.
Alright, that's all I got for the news. Mm-hmm. So, what else do you got, Dave?
Not much. So it doesn't appear that anything's been delayed. Diablo 4 comes out this week, and there's been a lot of people hyping up that. Although I saw something today about their microtransactions are a little crazy. But there's definitely been some people hyping up about that. For me, like what we've been playing and watching. So a new season of Destiny came out last week, and I did mess with that because a new dungeon came out. And regardless of the way I currently feel about the game, new content and new things to explore is always cool. They're actually doing this really interesting like underwater mechanic. You don't spend a lot of time underwater, but you are underwater. So it's all right. I'm still losing the desire. They added fishing to the game where you can fish for loot. Okay. Like it's kind of boring.
It is officially an MMO. They have added fishing.
So we'll see kind of where that is. The new dungeon was fantastic. The way they tie some things into and trying to figure out the mechanics and what they do, and doing that with Wyatt and Randy, completely blind, like trying to learn the mechanics ourselves and figure it out, is always a good and great rewarding experience. Haven't really got a chance to mess with Tears of the Kingdom anymore because Owen has been hogging the Switch, messing with stuff and constantly trying to tell me stuff and me trying to like not be spoiled by it. Not that there's like necessarily a ton of stuff that you can or can't be spoiled with the way the Zelda games are processed right now. And then watching, I did watch some of the NBA playoff games. Those have been pretty good. Interesting, you know, aspects of that. As you know, my little weird guilty pleasure of All American season 5 came to Netflix, and I pretty much finished that in like 2 weeks. That is a dramatically crazy soap opera that used to involve football but doesn't really involve football now, and the stuff that's happened to these 5 or 6 people in like 4 years is just crazy.
Have you been into Ted Lasso this season? Because I haven't. I've watched every episode, but I'm not into this season at all.
So I watched Ted Lasso. Angela and I were watching it on a pretty regular cadence for like the first 3 or 4 episodes, and I was with you. For some reason, like whatever story they were telling wasn't like really hooking into me, and it wasn't hooking into Ange at all. And then I did watch a little bit more of it. I went up to my parents' house like 2 weekends ago, and I watched it there for a little bit while there was some other stuff. My parents were like taking a nap or something. So I watched a little bit of it there. It has very, I don't really know the best way to describe this. I feel like it has 5 or 10 minute windows in an episode where it fully has my attention, and I think it does something really cool, and then it kind of goes off on the rails again, where I feel like there's too many stories being told, and I can't tell if they're rushing because they think they have to be done at the end of the season. It ended this week, and there's been a bunch of stuff on Twitter today that I've been started to read, and I kind of scroll by.
I haven't watched the last episode, but I see what you mean. There are portions where like you get flashes of the reason you liked Ted Lasso.
Yeah, like when they tied the ropes to their dicks and played soccer, like that was hilarious.
Out of context, funny for those that don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you have those moments, like 5 to 10 minute gaps where you're like, this is why I like this show. And then everything else is like, here's 5 minutes of this character, here's 2 minutes of this character, here's 5 minutes of this character. And it just doesn't click for me. If you continue watching it, I be interested to hear your
I need to catch up on it. I almost did it today, but like when Angela heard I was watching it, she got annoyed because I wasn't watching it with her. But at the same time, when I offered to watch it, she's like, I don't want to watch it. So
yeah, there's portions of the story where like there's stuff that happens off camera, which is frustrating. That should be like important big moments that they just are like, oh yeah, that totally happened at the end of the last episode. We just didn't show it. And it's just like, cool.
And even Angela just said in chat, like, this is the last season. I don't think they've confirmed either way
they're
done.
So basically what they said when
the writer said it's a 3-season thing.
Yeah, they planned out 3 seasons, but yeah. Barry only planned out 1 season and it just ended on its 4th season.
Yeah.
So like they're setting some stuff up to where if it does come back, it might be like a slightly different cast sort of scenario. But it's, if this is the last season, it's going to be a disappointment because over the seasons it's been a bummer.
Because ultimately, like, you can't continue this without Jason Sudeikis.
And that's the question, is just like, are, if they get him back, like, if he is tired of it and you bring a show back, do you rename it? Like, what do you do?
So, but that's kind of been, for the most part, what's been going on. I don't know. I just need something to really grab me. I either need to decide to pick up Horizon's DLC. I know I feel like I say this like every other week or so, but nothing even television wise is really holding my attention. Like, so there's an American Gladiators documentary on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it, like, on the surface, I'm like, cool, I want to hear about, you know, this show that had millions and millions and millions of people watching it in the 90s or whatever. And I start watching it, and it just, it doesn't hold my attention for like 10 minutes. And then I start like daydreaming or thinking about something else or picking up my phone and going through something else and just getting distracted by it. Like,
there's, what you need is some sort of handheld PC.
So I just, I can't really, for whatever reason, can't really get something just to hold my attention right now. Like, I want to play Tears, but then like sometimes Owen has the Switch and then sometimes he gets on this thing of like, I want to watch you play. And I'm like, okay, then I can't play if he's not awake. And the best time for me to play is when he's asleep. So it's just kind of like this weird vicious cycle. And there's just I need something from June, whatever, like all those summer events you just listed from June 8th to June 15th. Something needs to come out.
It's funny. Like, I was just talking about that with Advent, who sometimes pops in the channel, and he was like, so what are you playing right now? And I was like, oh, I'm playing something for review, but like, I'm waiting for the next big game, and I hope it gets announced.
We need like an Apex Shadow Drop or something. Like, something has to happen. Like, and I don't even know what it is. I can't even tell you. Like, the next thing I'm looking forward to, and there's going to be some gameplay released of it, is the EA Immortals game. It comes out June 20th, that magic first-person shooter game.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be some content released today or tomorrow when I'm recording this from some people that I follow. Like, they've got flown out to San Francisco to play. So I'm really, really interested in that. But, like, I just don't know. I see games that are on sale, and I'm like, okay. Like, but it could have to do with a lot of, like, me changing jobs and hiring an entire team and my store being hit with delay after delay. You know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. Curry, I'd love to play something on my backlog, but I still get bored. Like nothing like super engages me like at all.
What was the game that clicked for you earlier this year that got you excited about games?
What?
There was a game that clicked for you and you were excited about games for like a good month.
I don't remember what it was. It is.
Damn it.
I mean, this year I played both Horizons.
It might have been because you really got into Horizon at one point. Yeah. Trying to think, but I kind of feel what you mean. Like, I
need a Turtles game like we had last year at this time, you know,
which hopefully we usually get those sort of like smaller games during this time period that gets people excited. Like right now I'm looking at Diablo, but I'm just like, am I gonna be able to get like my group of friends to all get in on Diablo? I know the Exo Primal is coming out relatively soon, so hopefully that'll be able to get people. That's the Dinosaurs Falling from the Sky 3-player co-op game. But even that, like, it looks super fun. I like the beta, but I know that's only gonna satisfy me for a couple weeks, you know, like it's not going
to
be.
Yeah, it's part of the reason I don't really get super excited for things. Like Gotham Knights was supposed to be awesome and then it wasn't.
Yeah, I could have told you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I get it. I get it. But once you have this gaming PC in your hands, it's going to make things right. That comes out like next month, right?
Yeah, I almost canceled that this week.
Damn. Well, hopefully it'll be your little indie machine.
I don't think I'm going to cancel it even if I flip it. So.
It depends on like how much you can flip it for.
Yeah.
Because you'll be surprised how crazy people are even if they only have to wait a couple weeks for it to be available. But anything else, Dave? Are you depressed that all your favorite Disney Plus shows are going to be lost forever?
I'm not even keeping up with that. So, like, I don't really know what's going on with that.
Killing your Mighty Ducks and your John Stamos show.
I enjoyed it, but I'm not going to go back and watch it again.
Okay. Well, good. You can't because they're going away forever. No second season of John Stamos coaching.
There was a second basketball. Season. No third season.
No third season. Yeah. No third season.
So it's a Netflix show.
Huh?
So it's a Netflix show.
Oh, because it got canceled after two seasons? Yeah. I mean, it's going to be one of those shows. You're going to be like, was I high? Did John Stamos have a show where he coached basketball? And so you're like,
Hey, for the record, in like 10 years, I'll win a trivia. We'll be at a bar and I'll be able to answer a trivia question that you won't be the answer. Okay.
It'll be like, hey, boring sports shows that only lasted a season or two. It'll be like, damn, I know all of these. Mighty Ducks.
What have you been playing and watching?
So for me, I've been watching a lot of the NBA Finals, really enjoying that. The NBA playoffs leading into the finals. I'm super excited because I big Jimmy Butler fan because, you know, he was a Chicago Bull for a while and the Bulls made horrible mistakes and let him go. And now we have Zach LaVine and that sucks. So I'm really big Jimmy Butler fan and I also really like Jokic's game over on Denver. So this is the first finals in a while where like whichever team wins, I'm going to be excited about like, cause I want both.
But you're totally going to have these games on while you're playing something on the Switch though.
That's literally all I've been doing. Like literally I tell Sarah like, hey, I'm going to go on a PC and I have like Bulls or the playoffs in one screen, some random YouTube in the other screen, and I have my Switch. Like it's horrible. I'm peak gremlin goblin mode when I'm playing. It's all dark in here. I just have a little kitten next to me like crying for attention. But yeah, what I have been playing is a game that we got from for review. This one, the code was provided to us by Riot. It is the Convergence, a League of Legends story. So Dave, I don't know if you remember, but a couple years ago, League of Legends basically announced that they're going to be doing like offshoot games as a way to expand their audience and also hopefully bring people into the main League of Legends game. This one follows the champion Echo, who has abilities that involve time. And this game is basically a side-scrolling Metroidvania set in the League of Legends universe. Not going to spoil too much in regards to the story, and I haven't completed the game, so I'll give like a full review for it next week. But in terms of a Metroidvania, it is a really good one of those. I was actually kind of surprised. I don't really know too much about League of Legends. I dabbled in the game a little bit, watched a couple League championships like, 7 years ago. And then also I watched most of the Arcane Netflix show, so I know a little bit, like I'm familiar with a good chunk of the characters that get mentioned. But this follows Echo, and the main thing that Echo can do is rewind time a couple seconds at a time. So as you're doing the Metroidvania stuff, you're attacking enemies, at any point you can rewind time. So if you're about to die, you can just rewind that, or if you're about to get hit, you can rewind out of that as well. And you use those abilities to solve some puzzles and survive. But Echo is also an inventor, so they have different sort of things that they can use for traversal. So there's like wall running. You do have like a boomerang sort of like mechanic.
Would you say this is side-scrolling?
Yeah, side-scrolling thing. And I'm playing it on a Switch, so it's on every platform. So they're trying to like expand stuff. And I think it's a good effort in terms of like the different mechanics that they keep throwing at you, having the multiple abilities. And I'm still getting abilities, which, because this is Metroidvania, mm-hmm. you get those moments where you pass by. Yep. You pass by a doorway and you're like, how do I get to that? And luckily, like maybe like 20 minutes later, you're like, I have a new ability. I can go back to that door and go down a different path.
You have my attention.
So as someone that likes Metroidvania games, there's enough pure gameplay mechanic stuff that this game is really fun. And it is a good gateway drug for League of Legends. Because as soon as I played it, like, I had questions for League of Legends, so I had to ask my friend who does, you know, really loves League of Legends, and it was all about like the different champions. So I just started to ask questions about like, oh, what's his character? Oh, I just ran into this character. What's that relationship? You know, what's going on here?
Gosh, and this game looks beautiful.
Yes, and I'm playing it primarily on a Switch, and it runs really well for the most part. I haven't had any hiccups, and I'm playing it only in handheld mode. Soon as an opportunity to review this came up, I wanted to try it out on the Switch for multiple reasons. One, I just want to see how games run on a Switch, and also it just seemed perfect for it. Like, I don't know about you, Dave, but the Switch seems like it was built for like Metroidvania side-scrolling games. It's fully voice acted as well.
Sometimes,
so it's very immersive, and it's pretty good presentation. I'm going to continue playing this. I'll have a more thorough review of this next week. I was hoping to have like beat it by the time we recorded, but a lot of things happened. Like one of my cats got sick. We also have this new kitten, so it's been pretty hectic and busy right now. But I'm planning to do a full review of this game next week.
You're going to make me buy this game.
I mean. We could talk about it next week. All I gotta say is like this seems right now, I'm probably like a little more halfway through the game, and it's held my attention. It's been something I can play like an hour or two at a time, and then just kind of lose myself in it a little bit, because the combat's really fun. I love the powers, and I forget every time I play a Metroidvania game how much I like Metroidvania games.
Mm-hmm.
Like on paper, I'm like, why would I want to do that? And then anytime I play it and you see the map and you're just like, shit, I want to go back and unlock things.
You got to color the whole map in. Like, oh, that bottom left corner is like slightly curved. And
yeah, like when you see part of the map and you're just like, that looks like there might be a tunnel there. So you go all the way back, explore it. And then you find out like, oh, I don't have the ability for this yet. Let me progress a story and get that ability so I can do this. So it is a great one of those. I don't know how the game.
It's only $30.
It's only $30. See, this is how Dave's like in that I need my next game mood.
Yeah. It's only $30, and this will run great on that little mini PC I'm getting.
It'll probably run fantastic. It runs I'm surprised how well it runs on the Switch. Like there might be some frame drops here and there, but because it's a side-scrolling game, it's not like game-breaking or super noticeable. I wish it was a little bit more zoomed in. That's like my only issue with it on the handheld mode is I wish it was a little more zoomed in. But overall, like the art looks good. Voice acting is really good. So I just want to see this game through before I review it because I'm enjoying it. And I've always been curious about the League of Legends universe because I've dabbled in it here and there.
Is it helping with that at all?
A little bit. I mean, it helps just hearing the different characters being talked about, and then I do like that they focus on like a specific character with these. That League of Legends has always been one of those things. Every time I see a hero or a champion, I'm always like, oh, that character looks cool, but I just couldn't get into playing League of Legends. Mm-hmm. So the idea that you get to spend like more time in a different environment with like a specific character is really interesting because there's some really cool characters in a League of Legends universe. So this, again, it just seems like if this is what Riot wants to do to get people to play League of Legends or just expand their player base or fan base, this is a good way to do it with like adventures like this. Like, I don't think they ever need to do like a big like AAA third person action game for their heroes. If they do smaller stories like this, I think this is exactly what they need to attract attention. But full review will be next week. And all I gotta say, spoilers, I'm really enjoying it. So unless the game really messes up in that second later half.
The little bit of Googling that I did while you're talking about it, it seems like but you're in line with other people.
Yeah. No, yeah, no. It
I know you don't like to look at stuff while you're like while you're in process of it, but you definitely I don't feel like you're off base.
Again, like and the only reason I want to see it through is because I'm enjoying it so much. So I just want to make sure it actually crosses that finish line. That's awesome. But that's pretty much all I've been doing. I wasn't even expecting this game. I got an email Friday and I was just like, okay, let me see if I can get into this Memorial weekend.
Those are always the great when that happens. Like
the
thing completely out of nowhere. That's or either when the game comes out of nowhere and you thoroughly enjoy it or when the game hits the expectations that you're expecting.
Yeah, especially this one kind of came out of nowhere because, again, I'm not the biggest League of Legends fan. So I never finished the Netflix show, but now I'm like, oh, maybe I'm going to finish the Netflix show now.
Because there's like a Netflix anime, right?
Yes, Arcane, which I got like halfway through, but I just kind of fell off because it came out at the wrong time for me. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, I'm probably going to restart that after this just to get more of the universe. Yeah. But Dave, that is it for me.
All right, we're going to skip questions and comments this week. We've gone a little longer than normal, but we knew that the Naughty Dog stuff was going to be an in-depth conversation. So please, as always, continue to send us questions, continue to send us feedback, topics that you'd like to discuss, things you'd like us to dive into. Those are all fine. You can post those in our Discord. You can post them in the Facebook group. You can post them on Twitter, hashtag AskDigitalDays. Again, you don't have to wait for Michael or myself, primarily Michael, to send out tweets soliciting questions or anything like that. Just if we say something in the middle of the podcast, like some of you do well in Discord, where you're like, "I'm not done with the episode yet," but you're wrong.
Dave loves those.
Yes, I more like it. Just satisfaction of knowing that people actually listen, like that helps a lot too. So. Like, especially even if you're late. Like, so Will Richards does it all the time. He's like a month behind and he comes and starts talking about something. I'm like, I don't remember what I said. But like, I love that interaction. I love that dialogue and the camaraderie and the conversation that we have around that kind of stuff. I truly enjoy it. There's a few of you that I have that with and on a regular basis, and I really do enjoy it. It does kind of help the days go by and helps give me a little bit of spark that like this is I love doing this, but I love it when you guys interact with us more. So yes, please do that. The main account for Twitter is at Digital Days Pod. Michael's is at the first MJC. Myself is at Good Dave Hunt. The Facebook group is there. Discord servers are all linked in the show notes. Patreon's linked in the show notes. We are both fully aware that we are heavily, heavily neglecting Patreon, and you get our sincerest apologies. But with both of us in the last 6 to 8 months completely changing jobs and changing careers and routines, it has definitely thrown a wrench into it. So there needs to be some adjustments and some overhauls and some tweaking done to things as we're trying to kind of tweak our brand a little bit and tweak our goals of what we're doing. And as always, we would love to hear what the good, bad, and the ugly of, what we do well, what we could do better, what we could do differently, and what we just do terribly. So, and one of the things that that we do terribly right now is support our highest tier Patreon subscribers. And I know I've had individual conversations with most of you, and you guys are usually like, hey, I'm just supporting you and Michael. I'm not really supporting the content, and we love and appreciate that. But at the same time, we do owe you content.
Which hopefully we'll be recording something within the next couple weeks. We did like slow down like how much content we put out per year, which I think we're still kind of ahead of that new goal based on the early episodes we put on earlier this year. But we still want to support with some bonus content.
Yeah. So, all right. So with that in mind, we will talk to you guys next week. I hope everyone has a great week. Keep moving forward.
Don't be a dick. See ya. I almost forgot my catchphrase.